Sitting with you, we'd like for you to petition the Sermon on the Mount by our Lord and Savior. Beginning in verse 24 of the 7th chapter. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man, or unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. We have read the last portion of the great sermon that Jesus preached. I've been asked by several this afternoon how long this sermon is going to be. And I promise you that it will not be as long as a couple we heard the last two evenings. For this reason, most of my ministry is spent in Eden Valley, Minnesota. And the morning service usually started at 11. And then at 12 o'clock, there was a bell that would always ring. And then after that bell rang, there was no use in me trying to be annoyed, because that ended. The evening services were controlled the same way. There was a curfew. And then after that, your efforts were fruitless. So I learned to preach the sermon in about 30 minutes. But Brother Lindsay told me this when I was studying under him. This thing, he said this. He said, if you can't tell a man anything in 30 minutes, don't spend an hour time. And I have followed that advice all through my ministry. Once in a while I preach a long sermon, and then of course I have to sleep in the doghouse for a day or two. But usually we try to finish our sermons in about 35 minutes. Another thing that Brother Lindsay also told me this, and I'm not reflecting on you at all. He said that a jug will hold only so much water. And he said after you fill it, there's no use in trying to get any more in it. So after your mind is consumed about all you can, there's no use in us trying to pound any more into you. So our remarks are going to be very few tonight. We're going to say no more than we believe that we absolutely have to. And when we're through, we're going to quit. I'd like to read two verses in the 127th Psalm for our scripture study, for our text, if we were giving it a text or a title. I think we all should be able to quote it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. We believe that here we have, in a very few words, the history of nations and the success of life and the success of a church. Except the Lord build the house, you and I are laboring in vain. Except God be with this conscience in our efforts are vain. Except these young men who have dedicated their lives to the Lord and to the ministry, except God can build in their lives, their ministry will be vain. So young men, I would advise you to build, for you to conform your life to where Christ can build in. And if Christ can build in your life, then you will be a success. I believe that we can reverse this language, because I believe it's a negative is inferred. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God build a house, we're not building in vain. Regardless of what the outlook may be, we're not building in vain. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe whenever the Church of God comes to the place where it will let God build in it. And I thank God that our church is beginning to let the Lord build in it. And you're going to see that it will grow. It will accomplish the purpose that God has for it. I believe that with all my heart. But no life is unsuccessful. There is no such thing as a failure as far as God is concerned. Whenever we say that we have failed in something, we have simply admitted that we were wrong. God did not build in that, because otherwise we would not have been a failure. I believe that what Isaiah said, that concerning the Lord, or what the Lord said through Isaiah, that his word goeth forth, and it will not return unto him void. So we find that life is conditional. I think it infers the possibility here that we could build and build in vain. Jesus said concerning the Pharisees in Matthew the 15th chapter, and I believe about the 9th verse, he told this concerning the Pharisees who were the outgrowth of Jewish religion. He said, in vain do ye worship me. While did they worship him in vain? They were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now when our church incorporates into it the commandments of men, then it will be a failure. And one of the lessons that we taught our young people in our young people's class was this. The condition concerning the last day, that is the last day condition of the church. We see it symbolized by Mystery Babylon. It's a failure as far as God is concerned. Because why? Instead of being the chaste virgin to Christ, the church, the leftover church of the world, has become a harlot. Because she has incorporated into her all the teachings of men, and she's become the harlot. So, except the Lord build, then we are laboring in vain. When I was in Eden Valley, Minnesota, I was there during the beginning of World War II. And I was in the bank one day, and it happened to be that my friend, the Catholic priest, was in there. And we were talking about the war. And he said, well, we're surrounded by water and a prayer. And he said, I believe the water will be more good than the prayer. Now, he was looking at it from the physical standpoint. And I believe that people would return to God if we would fall on our knees and turn to him. I believe that the prayer would be more than the water. So we find that the Bible teaches that there is such a thing that we can worship in vain. But I believe with God's help, we cannot. There is no such a thing as a failure. If God be for us, Paul said, who can be against us? So if the Lord is our helper, we will not fear what man can do unto us. You know, our God is the same God that he was in the days of old. And I think it's our faith in him that is the key to our success. I'm thinking of a story in the Old Testament which we're going to use in this connection. Or, not in a story, it's an incident. Remember one time when Jerusalem was besieged, and they were besieged by the Syrians, and within the city there was a famine, and it was so great, or this famine was so sore, that one day a lady would say, we'll eat my son, and then tomorrow we'll eat your son. Now that's how sore the famine was. But then the prophet Elisha made this prophecy. Now remember, this came upon Israel because they had not let the Lord build in their house. And then Elisha made this prophecy. He said, on the morrow, about this time, shall be a measure of flour, or shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. And then that sounded like an incredible promise or an incredible prophecy. Here they were, the famine was so sore that they were eating their own children. Read the 6th and the 7th chapters of 2 Kings for this record. It sounded like it was an impossibility, didn't it? As far as human effort is concerned, it was an impossibility. But Elijah said, tomorrow at this time, there will be sold a shekel, or that is a so many measures of wheat for a shekel, and so many measures of barley for a shekel. Well, that was an incredible thing. But we find out that during the night, or during that period of time, or during the night, yes, there were 4 lepers. And those 4 lepers had started into the gates of the city, and they decided that, well, they were going to die anyhow. And so they said, let us go into the camp of the Syrians. So they went into this camp, or they started toward the camp, and when they arrived at the camp, they found it was empty. Because why? The Lord had caused a peculiar noise to happen during the night. And it scared these people, and they said, well, that the king had enlisted the Egyptians and other armies against him. So they fled in confusion, and they left all of their food. And the next day, a shekel of wheat, a measure of wheat, was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley. Now, God is powerful. God is able to do that which he has said. And it's only our faith in him that will motivate us to victory. So if God builds in our church, I think the cure for our ills, both general conference and in our state conferences, in our local churches, is to conform to God. Whenever we let God build in our church. But if God is not building in that church, it will not be a success. It will not be the instrument for saving souls. So we find, if we were minded to use up a lot of time, we would find that all through the Bible that God has worked and whom God built in Israel. You find, if you read the 107th Psalm, you find so many times of Israel. Israel would, the Lord would bless them. They would turn to him. He would bless them. And then they would turn away from him. And then he would permit them to be cursed, and curses his mother. Then they would cry to the Lord in their misery, and then he would hear their prayers and answer them. So I don't see why that Israel could not have learned the lesson that except the Lord build in their house, their labor was in vain. So I believe today the same application can be made to the church of God. It's only from a human viewpoint, some of these things may look impossible. I think probably from a human viewpoint, and I think that's the reason why we often hear this phrase, oh, we are too weak to do this or that. We're too little to do it. Well, we are if we don't have God in our midst. That's true. If we exclude God from our work, we can't do it. And I think sometimes we try to solve it from the human viewpoint. And we look at it from the human viewpoint. And it's impossible. And the more we try to conform to the world, the more ills we're going to have. You know, sometimes I wonder about these churches. I attended a church down in Morristown, Tennessee, and it was the most peculiar service I ever attended. Because they had a very good evangelist, and he was highly rated, and I went down to hear him. Preached in one of the leading churches in Morristown, Tennessee. He preached a sermon, and he titled his sermon, You Need Christ Now. We need Christ now. And he was a dynamic speaker. And the peculiar thing about that service was, at the close of it, he had convicted every person in that house, I believe, that they didn't have Christ in their life. And at the close of the service, he asked them how many of them had a lack in their lives. How many of you feel if you have not had Christ in your life? And at the conclusion of that service, 9 out of 10 persons, and there was as many people there as there are here, Only the house was larger, and they had more room. And I'll say that 90% of that church came forward to the altar that night. Church member and sinner together. Because why? They didn't need Christ. Not only why. But then I was talking to one of the members of our church, and I told her about this event. And she said, well, probably they needed it. Because just a few days ago, they were up to our store to buy phonograph records that they might have a dance in the church business. Now then, God will not bless a church that yields to those worldly things. Whenever we bring that kind of stuff into our church, God does not build in that church. I don't care if they have 1,000 members. They're not taking one person for the team. I like this phrase that I heard once, and I believe it was Brother McCone. I'm going to give him credit for it anyhow. He made this statement I made from this quote. He said that all the water in the world will not sink the smallest rowboat. Neither will all the sin in the world will never hurt the church. That is, all the water in the world will never sink the rowboat until it gets on the inside of it. All of the sin in the world will never hurt the church of God until it gets on the inside of it. That's been the history of God's people all down through the ages. All of the sin in the world will never hurt it until it gets on the inside. All the sin outside of Israel never hurt Israel until it came inside Israel. You know, God had more difficulty getting Egypt out of Israel than he did getting Israel out of Egypt. And I think that the Lord has the same problem with people. He has more trouble getting sin out of the people than he does getting people out of sin. So, except the Lord build the house, we're laboring in vain. And I believe that we see today, some people say, well, we have to let down a few of your rigid standards. I know I was accused of being one that stood alone on my stand on some of the sinful practices that I saw surrounding our people. But I believe that the more we lower the standards, and the more we become like the tramp when we ask him, how do you know which way to go? He said, how do you know to go south in the wintertime and go north in the summertime? He said, well, just turn my back to the wind and go with it. And I think that a lot of people today just turn their back to sin and go along with it. And when we do, we're just like the tramp. Now, the Lord didn't intend for man to be to be tossed about by every wind of sin. Paul says, be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So the more we can incorporate these things of the world into our churches in order to try to hold our people, the more problems we're going to have. We're never going to hurt our church by raising our standards. For instance, someone will say, oh, you're going to lose so-and-so if you preach a sermon like that. Well, praise the Lord, let's lose him, because if he's that type of person, we need to lose him. I believe today that the church is in a healthy condition because it's purged of some of the things that's holding it back. I believe that there's a greater difference between the world today and the church. I believe that gap is growing wider. I mean the Christian. There's a difference between that. For instance, the Christian that is hot, is warm, he's growing hot. And the cold is growing colder. You know, it says, many are cold and the few are frozen. And I think the cold ones are freezing. And the warm ones are growing hotter. In other words, there's a difference between the temperature of the hot and the cold. So the difference, I think, in the world, we can see it in our church today. The people that are hot for the Lord are growing hotter. And the people that are lukewarm and cold are growing colder, and many of them are frozen. It reminds me of a story that I told. I shouldn't tell it in the story. I mean the story. But this one fits the world today. You know, it was said there was a church that burned down in a certain town. And they hunted around for a place to have their services, and they couldn't find any place. And finally, they thought of a room back in the saloon. And they went to the saloon keeper and said if he would lock the door between the thing and between his joint and their place, well, then the say would rent that building for a church. So they rented it, and the saloon keeper removed all of his paraphernalia, with the exception of one thing he forgot it. And there was an old parrot hanging up in the corner of the room. So Sunday morning came, and the preacher came in with his clergy outfit on, and the old parrot, he scratched his head and looked at the preacher, and he said, well, he said, and you moved to the ceremony this morning. And then the choir came in with their robes on, and he said, well, new floor show. And then he looked over the congregation and he said, but the same old crowd. Now, that is ridiculous, isn't it? But that is so true. I believe it's today that we see that in the world. Now then, can we expect God to bless us? I mean, can we expect God to build in such a condition as that? I know one time that I went uptown on Saturday night, and I saw the way the world was going. Most people, I was a little bit late because my wife had sent me up to the store just before it closed, and I carried in the store a little while, and then on my way home, I ran into a little bit of everything. And I would wonder then, I said to her, I don't believe that there was a Christian in that town. It looked like. I don't believe that there was a Christian in town. Then they went uptown on Sunday morning at different times. And the bell would ring, everybody going to church. Same old crowd that I saw Saturday night on the street. Now, we can't be like that. We can't sit at the Lord's table and the table of the devil. It just doesn't make sense. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. Those are principles that God has laid down. And unless we conform to them, we're simply building in vain. But we're not building in vain if we conform to God's way. God's way is the best way. God's way is right. And I say that our conferences and our church will be a success if we build God's way. Now, there are many things that we believe that we could insert in this thing, in this plan that God has made. We cannot weaken. That is, we cannot lower our standing and make a success in Christianity, because God's way is right. Now here's one, and I think it's going to hit some of us. Hit me. We talk about raising a little budget here of about, what was it, $31,000? 36. Well, we raised it, $5,000. And I was amazed at what Brother Watson said last night. If we would give, according to what some of the other people are giving, per capita, our budget would not be $36,000, but it would be near $300,000, I mean, per person. Now then, just as Brother Denfield read from the scripture here, do we love God more than we love, do we love Jesus more than we love these? Now, Jesus said, and don't believe Brother Denfield read all of it, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? In other words, Peter, do you love me more than this mass of fish that you caught? Do you love me more than your business? Lovest thou me more than these? Yes, Peter had caught a lot of fish. He was a fisherman, and it would have been worth quite a little money. Lovest thou me more than these? Now, I believe this. Whenever the church of God will build according to God's way, then we're going to be a success. Financial. If every church of God person would give God's way, we wouldn't have to ask for a $31,000 budget, and then by all the maneuvering that we could do to raise it up to another $5,000, because we would have more money than you know what to do with our present order of things. Instead of having one or two evangelists in the field, we could have hundreds of evangelists in the field that we would do. And God's way is right. And I say that it's one of them. And I believe that we're suffering today because of the fact that we have not adopted God's principle of financing our church. And that is, the Lord is Christ. I think that we have robbed God of the people. I see that all over the country. I think of two different churches. Little old church in Morristown, Tennessee, where they have 7 members, or I believe 8 members, is doing more than another church that I know of that has 250 members. Now, God is not building in that congregation. They have 250 members, but how many of them are going to be in the kingdom? I wonder. So unless we build according to God's way, and I think the quickest cure for our problems in our church is to adopt God's way of financing our work. Don't wait till the other fellow does it, but you do it. Pay the Lord his time. And I believe that the Lord instituted the way that his work should be financed, and that is a tithe system. I believe it's taught in the Old Testament, and if I had an hour, I could prove it by the New Testament. I believe it's taught. And I believe that anyone who does not give the Lord his part is in his eternal salvation is in doubt. His eternal salvation is questioned. Because the Lord, as he said, the Lord has ordained that they that preach the gospel should live the gospel. If the church of God would fulfill it, I mean, if the church of God would let God build in their midst, then these boys wouldn't have to go out into work for a part time in order to try to build a church and then work 6 days a week and try to build a church. They wouldn't have to do it. If we would adopt God's way. Now, I think if these things we have to face the fact. I think it's wrong for a minister to stand up on these pulpits and tell you, oh, it's all right, just whatever you want me. God doesn't want that less. God doesn't want any less of your sacrifice or your offering than your best. He doesn't want any more. And that's why I believe that that's a reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing to give God a portion of our income. You find the churches that have practiced God's way, and they're the churches that are prospering financially. You take the churches that are doing it man's way, then they're not prospering. So let's build God's way. Except the Lord, then build a house. They that labor, they that build, labor in vain. I'd like to read in our conclusion tonight one scripture which will give me so much comfort. And that is found in Paul's letter to Timothy. In his first book, and the fourth chapter and the eighth verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. Now notice, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of this life. That is, security. You talk about security, there's no better security than Christianity. There's no better insurance than Christianity. Because it doesn't have only the promise in this life, but of that which is to come. One other, the one Jesus said to Peter's question, when Peter asked him, he said, Lord, lo, we have forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have? And Jesus said, ye that have followed me in the regeneration, and the Son of Man shall sit upon his throne, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 times of Israel. And he says, no man that hath forsaken houses and lands and so forth for my sake shall receive manifold more in this life and in the world to come, everlasting life. That's the assurance that God has. So let's let God build in our work. Let God build in our ministry. Let's let God build in our conscience. Let's let God build in our church and our lives. Unless God builds in your life, we are building in vain. So I say tonight, If there's one here who has not, God, if you feel that God is not good in your life, dedicate your life to Christ. Make a full surrender to Him. And then you'll understand Christianity as it should be.
Let us turn to song number 266. Stand while singing and be dismissed with prayer. Join Paul and Brother Weldon Holland to be dismissed with prayer. 266. God's Way. Thank you.